Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. Got a really, really exciting one today. I'm joined by Jonathan, the founder of Cabin. Cabin is a builder that's approved by Tiny House Ideas. They've got some amazing models, including the Cabin Joy. I'm sure you've seen them on our Instagram and website at Tiny House Ideas. So basically, Jonathan and I are going to be having a conversation about his move from the corporate world into sort of pursuing something which was more fulfilling for him in terms of tiny living. We're going to be talking about minimalism, about design styles and loads more. So stay tuned to hear more about Jonathan, to hear more about Cabin.
Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast, the show where we talk about how to live a more fulfilling life with less. My name's Harry Alvarez-Garman and I've got tons of exciting guests lined up for you, including authors, entrepreneurs and tiny house owners. If you love minimalism, sustainable living, personal development and everything in between, then you're in the right place. On the show, we'll be talking about how you can do more of what you love, how to turn your passion into a career and how to live more sustainably.
So thanks for the invitation, first of all, and thank you for being part of this podcast. So my name is Jonathan Genock. I'm French, as you can hear from my accent. So it's kind of part of the French charm to speak Franglish instead of speaking English. So I hope you don't mind and that everybody will understand me. Otherwise, I'm the founder and the CEO of a company called Cabin, which we will talk about today. I'm located now in Bulgaria, in Sofia, the capital city on the southeast of Europe, where actually I run Cabin from here and I build tiny houses from here.
Amazing. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. It's sort of really interesting to speak to you, and it would be interesting to sort of dive into your past and to talk about sort of what has led you to start Cabin. So I guess the first sort of question is how old is the company? How long have you been doing this for?
So the company itself is, let's say, about 2 years old. Of course, it's in my mind for older than this. It took me some time to get to work it out. We are doing the things, I would say, quite slowly, because we want it to be done in the proper way. The tiny house movement, speaking about Europe mostly, it's still something new. It's something which is being built on day-to-day basis. People are learning about their needs, about what they want on daily basis. So it's changing slowly and at the same time very fast. So we are now in a phase where we are operational. We have the team on board. Everybody's there. We have our first models which are ready, which are built. We started the sales mostly in Western Europe for now, and we have a lot of plans, of course, for 2021 and the years to come with new models and so on, and we can talk a lot about.
Amazing. That sounds really exciting. It's great to sort of see things sort of this in this continent in Europe, because obviously America, the tiny house movement is sort of a lot more developed, I guess, than it is here, I don't know, for me in the UK and for you in Europe as well. So it's nice to sort of see that we're sort of beginning to pick up and see people like you emerge who are doing this amazing thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice that you mentioned UK and then Europe. So you are really in the new context. But yeah, definitely. I mean, everything I've built is based on the tiny house market in the US. Of course, I got lots of inspiration from there. Yeah. And the way I built Cabin is also based on what they are doing there, in the way that I wanted to differentiate actually and propose something a bit different, trying to put our European touch, let's say, and the French design, the French creativity also to it. So it's something very important. And yeah, I want really Europe to get to the same level as it is in the US, where tiny housing now is something normal. Here it's still new. People are still a bit reluctant to get into this. Municipalities are a bit reluctant into getting into this. So I really want this movement to become popular here. So I will tell you more about it. But yes, I'm not only about building tiny houses. I'm here to really promote the movement. Every project we are working on, the first steps, which takes actually most of the time, is not about building the house. It's about being here for the people to know the steps that they have to go through, to help them with the regulation, to help them to get all the agreements and everything that they need. So this is a big part of our job to make this famous. And if you follow a bit Cabin on social networks, most of the things that we are doing there, it's really to make this movement popular, not about only, okay, here is a tiny house, this is the price and so on. So yeah, we are really into these things. We need to be a lot of actors. You are part of it. Many others, builders, users and people living in tiny houses are also part of this movement, and this is great. We need to bring more people into this picture, mostly about politicians and so on, who needs to think about tiny housing as a real way of living and so on. So it will take some time, but we all need to walk into this same direction.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is really, really important. Really, really important what you said about how it's not just about here's a tiny house, here's the price. It's not sort of purely focused on that. And that's what I really, really like about cabinets, what I really like about you guys and what sets you apart, in my opinion. Because I mean, I think the fact that you sort of take the time and the effort to sort of make sure that everything works for the person that's looking into it, and sort of you're really, really into topics such as minimalism and sustainability, and that sort of really, really, you're doing it for the right reasons, which is what I love.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's as important as building the houses. I mean, I have some people coming to me, sending me emails saying, first, sorry, I'm not planning to buy a tiny house from you, but can you help me with understanding what is the regulation about this type of plot of land and so on and so on?
Yeah.
And of course, I don't mind. I mean, the more the people will go into this movement, even if it's not with cabin houses, I'm not expecting to flood the market with my houses. The more the people will buy even other houses, the more they will be to buy our houses. So I'm benefiting from this. The more it will again become popular and becoming a standard and in the habits of people, it will benefit everybody and of course us as a company and as a business at the end. So it's completely normal to go through this process now. I don't think you can be a builder in 2020, 2021 and even for the next 5 years just considering sales and not doing the whole advice and being here for the people to make them understand how it works, to go with them through the process and so on. I mean, this cannot work, I believe.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that is sort of why it is so huge, sort of being able to promote the movement as a whole, not necessarily just yourself, but promoting the whole movement, because that will sort of, it'll be those things that sort of knock on the government's door, and then that will sort of make them realize that there's sort of regulations that need to be changed. There's things that need to happen. And the more people that are sort of in the movement, the more people that will be living in tiny houses, the more people that will sort of be sort of understanding all of these concepts, and it will just sort of be positive for the years to come. Because obviously we are sort of at such a pivotal stage, I guess, here on this side of the globe, because obviously we're sort of almost catching up, and there's huge, huge, huge potential for everything that's going to happen, hopefully, in the next few years. Yeah,
exactly. And even as a builders, I mean, we don't have the pretension to know everything, to know the perfect way of building tiny housing. All of this is still in a process. It's a work in progress currently. So we are all working in the direction. And I'm learning myself every day on the regulations, because things are not really settled and it can change from one city to another, from one region to another. So also on my side and the side of my partner, a big part of our job is to get acquainted with all of this. I started this small web mini series of videos called In 3 Points, where we try to answer the most famous questions about tiny housing in 3 points very clearly, because again, you can see so many different answers everywhere that we try to move on this. Recently, I started, I don't know how successful it will be, but I started this hashtag called Time for Tiny, where I want people to start using it to push, not to be scared anymore, to move into these things, not to feel like they are somehow aside, you know, of the society, or like they are different people and so on. They are not different people. They are just like everybody else, just moving in a different direction, proposing an alternative to the current context, which makes complete sense when we see the situation. So yeah, we really want to be part of this. I'm not a sales guy initially. I'm really into changing things the way I'm changing myself, and we can go through this process I've been through. But yeah, I want people to follow this and to be aware of all those things. Even if they don't want to buy a tiny house tomorrow, I want them to be aware that this exists, that there is alternative ways of living and so on.
Amazing. I think it's all brilliant. And you mentioned as well that you've sort of got a team working around you. Would you mind sort of introducing me into the people that you work with?
Yeah, so actually, yeah, all of them have some kind of specific roles and so on. Some of them are, I would say, even not part of the company, but they help me build cabins. So the most important one is my partner, my co-founder, Stephanie. She's actually in France. She's in the Burgundy region where we have our first tiny house. She's there in charge of the same promoting somehow cabin and the movement locally, because it's easier, of course, when you are directly on site with a tiny house to show. Yeah. So she helped me build the concept, making it concrete, setting up really the business model, the business plans. And of course, you are always better to be more than one person to really push into something which is quite new, like tiny housing. Then, of course, one of the most important people in this story is Christina. She's the architect of Cabin. I met her when I initially wanted to build my own tiny house, so for my personal needs. She was a specialist of minimalist spaces. She already built tiny houses. She won awards for this. So she was really the right person to join the cabin story. And she really understood me in the way that I was not looking for traditional tiny house, the way we do them, let's say, in the US, that I was not so deeply into tiny house movement when I started, that I was more like an urban guy looking for some place to escape and so on, that I had some specific design taste and so on. So she really understood me and worked in a way to make a pretty innovative design and pretty modern design for the cabin. And she's still now having all the time very innovative ideas because we are receiving, you know, even if we try to build some standard models, because we believe that it's optimized and it's well thought in the way of using the space and so on, each and every prospect and client has its own expectations and needs and so on. So every time when I face some, okay, tough questions from them, okay, can I put this, can I do this and so on, and I feel like, okay, guy, it's not possible, you know, it's a tiny space. She's always coming out with ideas and proposals, and most of the time not only one but like three or four for each of the situations. So she's really a key player for sure in cabin. Then we have Evelyn, who is, let's say, the builder. So he is the guy with the hands on. He knows exactly how to build a tiny house, how to use the materials, how to, you know, face every small issue, because when you build a tiny house, many things are kind of new and you need to adapt. I mean, it's not like industrial process like it could be for other type of things. So he has this adaptation capabilities together with his teams of workers and builders, so also another key role. And one guy that I have to mention, he's not officially part of cabin, but he's my best friend, you know, and he's side of me from the beginning. Yeah. And he was the one to push me to do it and to completely switch from my corporate world and my career to move into this, and convincing me that I could do that and that this was the right way to me. And of course, today he's still here to discuss every decision, especially in the context of last year where many things had to be done differently. He was here to advise and confirm that I was taking the right directions.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It sounds like you've got a really, really good team around you who are obviously sort of all sort of sharing the same goals, the same mindset. And I wanted to ask as well, I'll ask you this now before we sort of dive too deep into the specifics of the models and things, to ask about sort of your personal journey, I guess, because I'm aware that you sort of left the corporate world to start Cabin. So what was the sort of the process of you sort of taking that shift?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a very important question. Thank you for asking me, because really Cabin is a result of a personal journey. And this personal journey is also something that I'm trying to convey through Cabin. It's a big part of it. So let me get back somehow 10 years in the past. I won't go into details in all the years, just to give you a bit what happened in my mind and my journey. But let's say 10 years ago, I was a 23 years old guy just coming out of business schools with an MBA in the pocket. At that time, you know, the only things I wanted was career. You know, I had very high career ambitions. I wanted money, success, everything like a guy going out of business school is willing to do. I was living at that time in France, in my home region where I studied, which is a beautiful region on the west coast of France, but pretty limited in terms of career development, the way I was seeing it, at least at that time. So I decided to leave. I got a job in Bulgaria, in Sofia, where I am now, actually, in a French bank. And basically, in 4 years, you know, I moved from project manager to head of marketing, then head of projects organization. Then I moved for 2 years in a very fast-growing IT company, where I also got pretty high responsibilities very quickly. So all in all, you know, in those 5, 6, 7 years, things were really going the way I expected. I mean, even faster, you know. I was getting high responsibilities, managing big teams of people, having really good jobs, the way people could wish to have. So everything was going fine. And then at some point, I don't know exactly what happened. You know, it was even kind of sudden. Maybe, I don't know if it's maturity or whatever, but I started to lose, you know, meaning in what I was doing. By meaning, I mean that what I was doing was not changing my life, was not changing the life of anybody, was not actually having much impact on anything, and for sure not so positive impact. And so I started to have this in my mind, and I was wondering, okay, why I push myself so much? You know, I was working a lot, I was being stressed under pressure. For me, it was part of the deal of doing this kind of career thing. But yeah, I started to lose this meaning, lose the motivation. And at some point, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, it was like I was not willing to go to work to do these things anymore. And at that time, I think I had a good decision to just take a break, you know, not to keep on going and going and going until the burnout, but to take a break. At that time, I rented a cottage in the countryside in Italy, you know, in a small village where there is nothing to do. And I mean, we have to understand that for me, it was a like drastic change, you know, from
completely
overworking. Suddenly I was doing nothing. I was in middle of nowhere. And of course, I had plenty of time to start to think about, okay, what am I doing? What should I be doing? Is it what I want? What do I want? And these kind of things. And obviously, I decided that I cannot go back to the life I was living till now, and that I had to do something again with meaning. It was not so clear yet what was this meaning that I was looking for. But, you know, there I had like nothing. I had a good Italian coffee, good Italian wine. Barbecue and basically that's all I
exactly
all I needed. And this is what I realized, you know, okay, this is meaning, you know, this is what I need. It's somehow stepping back, connecting back to the essentials, enjoying simple things, you know. And it was in the opposite of the direction I was clearly taking. And when I was there, I found this concept, you know, this American concept called Getaway. Most probably you know them. It's a kind of resort, let's say, of tiny houses, and which are exactly promoting this, which I was doing, you know, for people from the big cities who are working a lot, just to step back for a weekend, spend some time in a tiny house, disconnect, leave the phone aside, enjoy the nature, do so-called forest bathing, and so on. So I was like, okay, this is me right now. And if those guys are doing this, I'm not the only one, obviously, in this situation, being quite young, 30 years old, and already questioning everything.
Yeah.
And for sure, there are other people like that. And this is where, okay, cabin started to came into my mind. I came back to my work, and the first step I took was, okay, decided to build my own tiny house first, you know, as a personal project for me to escape for the weekends, to still have my job, but at least being able, you know, to take this time for me.
Yeah,
exactly. So I did this. This is when I met Christina from my own tiny house. And actually, when we built the design of my first tiny house, my first cabin, I mean, I loved it so much. And I said, okay, I cannot keep it only for me. You know, I cannot have to promote it and
to share this. Yeah,
exactly. And cabin started with this. And so the idea was, of course, to share the design of my house. I want people to see it, especially in all these social networks where people are sharing their own housing. And at the same time, I really wanted to talk to people like me, like, okay, don't do this kind of disconnecting and stepping back and connecting back to essentials too late. Really, if you are now in the middle of a career, maybe you still don't know, but you may need this at some point. So I wanted to offer this possibility for them to realize this and to step back, even if they, of course, keep on going in their career, at least to be able to have this connection sometimes. So this is basically the process I've been through and building Cabin. And now I'm pretty happy because Cabin is not my only project. I'm still having some things aside for a living, but because it takes some time. But at least I found the meaning I wanted into something which makes sense to me and hopefully will make sense to people like I was and like I am right now. So it's pretty important for me.
Definitely. I think that is so valuable, the fact that you've sort of been able to sort of take a step back and then realize and sort of reevaluate everything and think that sort of the status quo, what we're sort of all told about and when we're young, you're sort of directed in this direction of sort of the more money you make, the more sort of things you have, the more responsibilities you have, the sort of more successful you are. But I mean, that's just completely not the case. And it's sort of, I think 2020 as well has sort of made a lot of people realize that in terms of being locked down and working from home, they've thought, is this really what I want? And I think it is so valuable to be able to sort of take that step back and sort of before being burnt out and everything like that, and just being able to sort of get back to the essentials and sort of realize that what you're wanting to do should be something that sort of gives you passion, that sort of fulfills you. And in fact, in the I'm not sure if you've seen it, the new minimalist documentary the other day, I think I saw something about it on your Instagram. The less is now. They mentioned sort of a quote that sort of stuck with me as well, is that a lot of people are climbing the ladder without realizing they're on the completely wrong wall. And I think that is sort of really interesting, that sort of people are, I mean, it's very true that people are sort of pursuing all these career goals, but sort of they're so focused on it, they don't realize that there's everything else out there, which is amazing that you've sort of been able to find that meaning.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's interesting that you mentioned the minimalists, because okay, one process of mine was the change of the career path and doing something which had meaning. So this was one side of the picture. The other side was somehow the okay so-called minimalism, which is quite a big word right now and pretty trendy, but still,
yes,
this phase of having less, connecting again to more important things and meaningful things, and somehow being more happy like this. And I watched this first documentary from the Minimalists. I think it's called The Minimalists, actually, on
yes,
Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the new one, but the first one. And there was this guy, I don't remember, inside the documentary, who was saying that, okay, he's working a lot and basically he has a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, and most of the days are ending up in bad mood, you know, because he had pretty bad situations in the office. And he was saying that, okay, he was usually after work spending money, you know, just to feel a bit better. But,
yeah,
you know, the feeling of feeling better is lasting only 2 hours, and then you go back in your bad mood and in the bad,
yeah,
situation you are. And I was exactly like this. It was exactly me. I was going out of the office. I was taking the metro. I was going out of the metro. On my way between the metro and my home was lots of shops. And I was buying, you know, some clothes and so on that actually at the end of the day, I was never wearing, you know. But,
yeah,
okay, for the time that I'm in the shop and the few hours after, you know, I kind of feel pretty good and so on. So, but at some point, there is no point of gaining so much money if it's just to spend it in the wrong things that you don't,
yeah,
need, just because you're frustrated with the work. So it's like a vicious circle. You kind,
yes,
of need, I mean, you need more and more money to spend it in things that makes you forget about your bad days and your bad situation, which at the end of the day doesn't make sense. So
yeah,
yeah, this minimalist path it's a difficult one. I mean, I started it more or less about 2 years ago. I'm still in the middle of it. It's taking time, and it's difficult. I mean, the most difficult is somehow to give up on things that everybody is telling you is good to have and it's normal to have, and this is success and this is being rich in life and so on. So this is very hard. Even when I stopped my career to go into cabin, I mean, I had really to have this support from my friends to tell me that I was doing the right things, because to decide to stop a career that you are actually building for several years, to quit the job that many people are dreaming about, to stop having a very good salary, which you were having, and suddenly to go in something completely unknown without revenues, with a lot of pressure, risks, and so on. It's really a very tough process and it takes time. And not everybody, I believe, should do it. I mean, we should not convince people to drop everything suddenly and just try,
yeah,
something, because it's a pretty hard process. But the same with the minimalism. People don't have to become deep minimalist. I mean, I'm not saying to people to just live with a backpack, you know, and have nothing more in life. I love comfort, you know. I still have some things that I love to buy. For example, I have like maybe 50 or 60 pairs of socks, you know, which are,
yeah, yeah,
quite funny. So each of us should keep some personality, you know. It's not about all,
yes,
following
definitely
some advice and suddenly having nothing and just being happy with that. You have your own things. The point is, if you don't become a minimalist, at least do not become a maximalist in the way,
yeah,
that do not buy things for the wrong reason, you know. Do not,
yeah,
buy things because you are frustrated with something and so on. So if you believe that these things makes you feel really good, really better, because you do it consciously and you believe it will bring something to your life, I mean, do it. I mean, it's not about stop buying things and so on. It's really about buying things with full conscience and knowing why you do it. So
yeah,
minimalism, yes, it can be interpreted in a lot of ways. I don't like to take the extremes because it's most of the time more difficult for people to picture it. A bit the same with tiny housing. I mean, my point through cabin is not only to address people who are ready to suddenly live in a tiny space and live off-grid and outside of the city and so on. First of all, I'm targeting people just again to escape for a weekend, you know, just,
yeah,
to have this in your life, just to one day a week to do nothing, to leave your phone aside, to spend some time with your family, to be in the nature. Already, this is a big win for me. And it,
yeah,
can definitely be enough in your life to be way happier. So,
yeah,
again, no need to go to the extreme in these directions.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it was valuable what you said about how you'd sort of, I guess, distract yourself by coming home from work and sort of spending the time in shops and buying these things that would sort of, they'd fill a gap for a few hours and sort of give you that sort of those endorphins, I guess, and sort of cheer you up for a few hours, and then you sort of it wears off, I guess. So it's about finding the things that will fulfill you long term, that will keep you happy, that sort of continue to bring joy, which is amazing. And obviously it's a good point, and I think it's interesting for people to hear that from your perspective, so they can sort of get an insight into sort of your story and your story behind Cabin as well.
Yeah, I mean, and if anybody has questions about this, I mean, I'm more than happy to share, because again, yeah, it's not an easy process. People should not force it, for sure. I mean, it's not because we tell you that you will be happy with less that it's applying to everybody. So it's again, I mean, I like this world of personal journey. I think this is a journey. It takes time. For me now, after 2 years going through it, I'm still in the middle of it. I spoke recently to most probably a client of Cabin soon. She had a very interesting story on her own about minimalism. Basically, several years ago, she sold her big house in the Paris region in France, with the idea somehow to go tiny, but she was not sure. So most probably she would go first into an apartment or something a bit smaller, and then at some point she would go into a tiny house. But she told me that basically this process took her almost 10 years, actually, when she started to declutter the things, get rid of some things and so on. And her situation was very interesting, because she sold the house to people. She got rid of all her stuff in the house. She kept only the strict minimum. And actually, the day of signature of the house selling in front of the notary, the clients did not come. So she ended up being with her big house and with only a backpack and two things. And is the case now for, I think, 1 year and a half, she told me.
Okay. Oh,
and
really?
She told me, so she's in this big house with nothing. And she says, okay, actually, I'm ready now to go directly to a tiny house, because I can feel that I can live in this very small space with nothing.
Yeah,
exactly. And she spent some time in our tiny house in the first cabin Joy in France, which is about 20 square meters. And she was like, oh, this is too big for me, actually. I don't need so much space. I don't need so much storage and so on. So really, people will have different perceptions on everything. But yeah, for her, it took her almost 10 years, you know, to feel like she can live in less than 20 square meters.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that for most of the people, it's going to be the case, and there is no need to force again. The point is to it steps by step. I like this challenge that the minimalists are doing now. That's why I pushed it on the networks, where for 1 month you get rid of one thing per day, you know. And I think that these are ways of trying to do it, which are a bit funny and helps you go through this kind of process. I, for example, myself, I did it in a bit different way. Every 6 months, I'm taking a lot of things that I have that I believe I don't really need. I put them in the box. I put them under my bed, so I'm not throwing them right away or giving them right away. I put them under my bed in case I need them. And after 6 months, if I did not use them, yes, I'm getting rid of them. But some of them, actually, I'm opening the box and say, okay, actually, this one I need, or because it was not the right season, you know, or anything. And I'm doing this. So everybody can have this process. You in his own way, you can be more or less ready to go through these things. But yeah, very small things already, small steps is very good, because it means that the directions you are taking is for me the good one, of not getting more and more and bigger, but somehow getting less and smaller. So this is already a big achievement.
Yeah, definitely. It was really, really funny. You said your sort of process of minimizing your things is exactly the same as what I did. I'd say over the last sort of 2 years or so, it started from sort of seeing the minimalist first documentary and watching videos on YouTube and sort of just being sort of fascinated by it. Because I think for me, I mean, when people say, if you've got a tidy desk, you've got a tidy mind, it's stuff like that sort of always, to me, I'd feel a lot calmer and a lot more productive with sort of less clutter and less to sort of worry about. Yeah. So I sort of thought a similar thing to you. I thought, okay, let's put everything in a box. I put them in the plastic storage boxes. I put it in the spare bedroom in the wardrobe there. So it wasn't even sort of, I couldn't see it on a daily basis. And I'd sort of try and live with less. And then after a few months, I'd sort of go and think, I completely forgot I had this. I mean, there was sort of so many things that I had three or four of that obviously I would only use one. But it takes you sort of having that mindset shift to think about those things to realize that sort of everything that you have isn't everything that you need.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so many clients are also asking me now, okay, are you living in a tiny house? You know, because somehow as a builder, you should be living in a tiny house. And I'm very honest, you know, I'm telling them no, I'm thinking about it. Of course, this first design was done for me initially. So I kind of want to do it at some point, but I'm not ready. And I'm honest, I'm still in this journey. I'm still in this process of getting minimalist. Many people with who I'm talking to are actually more advanced than me in this process. But yeah, I don't want to force. The same with some people who are getting some information about tiny housing and so on. And to many of them, okay, we start to, you know, to discuss their project. We start to discuss the plans of the tiny house and so on. And then at some point in many cases, I feel like the conversation is kind of stopping because they are now in this process of making it real. And it's like a big step. It's a big decision. You know, it's not moving from one apartment to another apartment. It's like changing your way of living. And usually, yes, they stop writing or they stop calling for quite some time. And at some point, they write to me, okay, we are really sorry, but, you know, we need time to think about this. And I said, but of course, I mean, the last thing I want is that I'm pushing you, you jump in, and after 6 months, you know, you just stop being in a tiny house and you go back to an apartment. Exactly. So I'm fully aware. Maybe it's something I was not fully aware when I started Cabin, where I was like, okay, this movement is booming now and we can sell a lot of houses and so on very fast. I'm realizing now that projects takes a lot of time. I know that people that I spoke to 1 year ago may take 1 year, 2 years to actually move to their projects. It's not only about buying the house. It's about, deciding on a lot of other changes in your life. It's about, of course, selling another house maybe and so on. So this process takes a lot of time. People should not feel pushed by builders or anything to go through this. I see a lot of offers, you know, from builders like, okay, if you decide now, you get this discount and so on. I also kind of want to do it, but I want to say, okay, look, this is only for the people, you know, who 1 year ago came to me and says, okay, I'm thinking about doing it, because this should not be, I don't think that promotions and short-term discounts and so on tiny housing is the thing, because we are not selling a good, like you can sell on any other platforms. We are really selling a new way of living, or at least a big change in our life. So we should be, as builders, very careful about this and really considering what people are, what situation they are in now, what is exactly the process that they have been through, and what are the reasons why they want to move into tiny housing. And this is very important. And many of the people actually drop their projects, because when they are in the process of, you know, watching videos, watching nice pictures of tiny houses on social networks. I mean, you are having great ones. You know, they are kind of dreaming, and it's already a perfect, a great step. You know, to go into this phase of looking at this and dreaming about it. Then they are.
It's not the real world. Is the thing? Yeah.
Exactly, and then they. I mean, either they contact some builders or they start this process of building it on their own. But when they contact us, yes, once it becomes concrete, okay, this is the plan, the way you wanted it. This is the price. Now, what do you want to do? Many of them at this stage realize, okay, is this really what I want now? I mean, do I have the money for it? Is it? I mean, there are many questions, way more factual, way more rational, that are coming at this stage. And it's very important is that they take the right time to go through this. At the same time, I'm kind of willing to push them, because I can feel that many of them are reluctant, not because they don't want, but because I'm taking the French market as an example, because it's out of the norms. You know, if you are going through tiny housing, you are being looked in a strange way. And I can feel that they are scared of being these people outside of the norms.
Yeah, who are doing something different. Yeah,
exactly. So for to them, actually, I'm saying, okay, look, right now, maybe people will look at you in a strange way. But in many years, people will look at you with really envious look, and they will want to be you. So don't be scared of being the first one to do something if you really believe that this is what you want and what you need right now.
Well, I must say, I really do respect everything that you're saying and that you're doing, and the fact that you're prioritizing the decision that it's right for people, that it's the right decision people are making, rather than sort of just trying to push out as many as you can and sort of just focused on that. I think it is really, really very respectable that you're making sure that each and every person that contacts you, you're making sure that they're making the right decision for them, that they're sort of exploring all options, and that they sort of see the full picture beforehand, rather than just the pretty pictures and then think that's the life they want and just jump into it with a sort of 7-day discount kind of thing. It's great that you're looking at how you can sort of take care of people for a longer term.
No, for me, it's key. I mean, if we don't do this, it's somehow it will come back to us at some point. And there is also something, because I'm a lot, of course, on social networks, because there are a lot of groups, which is great, about people being in the tiny house movements. But there is already, because it somehow started with the do-it-yourself kind of approach.
Yes,
so there is a bit of reluctance towards builders, because yes, right, of course, we want to make a living out of it. So yes, we will make money out of this.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I mean, there is no point to hide it. And so I can feel already some reluctance sometimes towards us as builders. So if we really push it in a business and sales way, like we push any other good,
yeah,
at some point, yeah, it won't be good for us in the long term. So I prefer now to really take this time first, of course, to understand the project of the people, and also to explain our value. Because of course, as builders, we have value. Of course, as builders, we are more expensive, but because we have a team of workers, taxes, yeah, facilities, machines. So all of this, of course, is a cost. And to the people who wants to do it on their own, honestly, it's great. I mean, if you have the time, if you have the skills, if you have the passion to do it, really do it. Not all the people have this and still want to have a tiny house. And yeah, just one thing I say to those people is, if they do it for the money reason, they have to look at it twice, because the time it will take them, it means that, for example, they will have to rent something else in the time being, which can be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, even more for some of the other people. They will have to rent a machine and things like this. So not to look only at the price perspective, but only really to do it if they really, they want to put their hands on and they want to build on their own. For this reason, yes. For the others, they have to think twice and to look at, yes, try to understand, okay, why doing it with a builder is more expensive. Yes, of course, there is a part of it which is a margin for me to make a living and my partner to make a living. But out of this, the rest, I mean, it's pure cost, and that we are trying to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And I also realize something now is that when we are discussing with different cities and councils and so on, they are more confident when the client is coming with a builder, because the builders, of course, is following some norms in terms of insulation, in terms of fire risks and so on. So they feel more confident than someone who initially had no clue and just watched some videos and build it on their own. So again, this is somehow a message to the people who are living in such kind of cities where there is some reluctance towards tiny housing, which is actually a lot of cities still today. Consider that the builder can really bring you some credibility when you will go and get your authorization to put your tiny house. So
there is
for everybody a place there, and I like the fact that this movement is made of very different types of people who from a lot of time are deeply into alternative way of living, off-grid, having their own gardens and so on. Then people who kind of suddenly burn out from their career and decided to change.
Yeah.
And the same with builders. I'm initially not a builder. I learned and I got the right team around me. But the same, you have some passionate woodworkers who became builders of tiny houses and so on. So there are really a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of diversity in this movement, which at the end, I believe will benefit to everybody and make it a great, great alternative to the way we are living now. And at least enjoying and escaping in the weekends.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was a really good point you brought up there about how in terms of the city, if they look at it in terms of a DIY versus built by a builder perspective, obviously you as builders, you've got a team of specialists, you've got the architects, you've got the people that sort of are hands-on making it. And obviously you need to be following the certifications and the regulations, which obviously will sort of as well provide the customer with the sort of peace of mind that everything's been done properly.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, even it's not so easy for us as builders, because the regulations, you know, in some cases, I mean, most of the cities and countries, they do not apply to tiny housing. They apply to light habitat. They apply to RVs. They apply to whatever. So we kind of have to pick the right things. It's changing from one country to another, which is pretty difficult also for us.
Yeah.
But yes, it's something very specific. Of course, there are some standards and we are focused on the security of the people living in there and so on. I'm sure that when you do it yourself, you also care about these things. But yes, we have specialists, even for cabin. We don't do everything in the house because the team of builders are specialists of woodworkers. But the windows, of course, are brought and installed by specialists. The plumbing system, the electrical systems, and so on are brought by specialists, because electrical system in a tiny house, if it's wrongly done, can be very problematic tomorrow. So these kind of small things, I prefer, again, this is part of the cost, because for me, it's a higher cost, of course, to outsource this to a specialist than doing it on my own. And the electrical network in itself is not so complex, but still the risk is so high of doing something wrong and having a fire in the house or anything, that I want to do it with the right guys. So, and this is key. This is key. And if you do it on your own, yes, at least be very careful about those things. We are not speaking about wood house in the tree. We are speaking about a real place where you will live tomorrow and where you have to be careful. I'm reading sometimes on the networks that some houses burnt and so on, hopefully without anybody injured, but still it's a small space. It can go very quickly, and you have to be very careful about that.
Yeah, definitely. It's worth, like you say, putting the time, the energy, the effort and the money in initially to make sure that that what you're creating is a lot more sort of future-proof, I guess, which is so valuable. Yeah. Amazing. I'm just going to give a quick mention to Tiny House Ideas. So Tiny House Ideas is my business, is my company. It's been what I've been working on for the last 5 years in the long term, and especially over lockdown, over the last year or so, I've really put some time, energy and effort into building this business. So Tiny House Ideas obviously started with an Instagram page, and it has grown and developed into the business that it is today. It's the perfect free platform for anyone interested in the tiny house movement, in the tiny house community. First of all of the images that I feature on Instagram, you can find out more information. You can get a full fact file over on the website. As well as that, there's a really cool tool called Find Me a Builder, where for free I will personally pair a few tiny house builders with you based on your requirements, and that will save you going through hours and hours of searching through Google results. Take the stress out of it for you, really, and obviously it's no obligation. I'll send you a few recommendations, and it's up to you what you do with them. Another section of the website is the approved builders section. So I've been working with a few tiny house builders that I really stand behind, that I see the value in their work. So there's a profile there to sort of tell you more about them, and so you can contact them directly if you've got any jobs that you're interested in. And finally, on the website, there's a section for tiny house vacations. So if you guys are looking to go away and to try the tiny house movement, to try the tiny house living, but don't know if you want to commit to it, if you don't want to live there just yet, then a vacation is a really, really great way to sort of get acclimatized, to learn more about it. And you can do that by clicking on the vacations tab of the Tiny House Ideas website and learning more and searching through some amazing holiday homes. So we were sort of speaking earlier about the model, the Cabin Joy, being the first one. Would you mind telling me a bit about the Cabin Joy, sort of what sort of features and what it's like? We'll also have some pictures for people to have a look at as well.
Yeah, great. So yeah, I mean, I'm in love with this Cabin Joy. So
yeah, it is lovely. It's amazing.
So yeah, this is the model I was saying, which was the one I initially wanted to build for my own needs. Actually, now it's used for cabin as an exhibition model. So I don't have the chance to enjoy it on weekends. soon I hope I will be able to. But so yeah, this, as I mentioned, this model, the idea was to build something a bit different. Again, taking my own wishes when I built it. I like the tiny house ideas, but I did not really like, to be honest, the traditional houses, the way we see it in the US, which for me are trying to make mini version of real houses.
Yeah.
And two things in those houses I did not like when visiting some of them is, first one was the light, because it was a lot of small windows, because they were somehow putting the focus on optimizing the space and the function of the house, and then having the windows according to this space. And in many cases, it was a lot of small windows and limited light inside. And the other aspect which I did not like, and this is, I'm having a lot of debates online about this, it's purely a personal appreciation, is that I don't like loft beds for different reasons, for the practicity of, okay, climbing a ladder every day and so on, the space above your head, you know, I'm not claustrophobic, but still I like to be in something pretty wide.
Open. Yeah,
exactly. And the overall impression of space in the houses, because of this ceiling, which is pretty low, is, was for me, okay, if you just go for the weekend, but if you plan somehow to live inside, it was for me quite problematic. So, based on those things that I actually did not like, these were my focus for the houses that I wanted to build and the Cabin Joy. So the first thing we did was actually focusing on the lights. I wanted as many source of lights as possible in the house, speaking with the structural engineers, making sure, okay, I told them if I can have it fully in glass, I would be okay, but it's not structurally feasible. But again, here, Christina came in with great ideas because she wanted to have the lights coming from absolutely all angle of the house.
Yeah,
in the main rooms. That's why we even have a bit strange bathroom where part of the bathroom is part of the main room where you have the lights from the bathroom coming in the living area. So we have, yes, we have big windows everywhere, which I really love. It's really great to have this feeling of being outside actually when you are inside. So it's a small space, but actually you feel like you are, you know, you are completely in the nature. So this is a great feeling. We even have this light coming from the ceiling in the toilet. So it's a small touch, but it's for me very important in terms of feeling great inside the house. The second particular things we've done is the single story house. So the sleeping area is in the first story of the house. And this is not only for the practicity, of course, of going to bed, but I am someone who, especially now that I step back a bit from my career and someone taking more time for me, I'm using my bed not only as a sleeping area, I'm using it for meditating. I'm using it for even doing some stretching, yoga thing.
Yeah.
I'm using it to read, to have a nap, to play games, whatever. So it's really a key place for me in life. And I think it's even more important when you build a tiny house in which you plan to disconnect, because this will be really a central place. So that's why I wanted this sleeping area to be downstairs, to be really a place that you use the whole day long. And you have this huge window on the side of the bed. So it means that when you wake up, you know, you are straight in the nature. And this is for me something that was really, really important. So these are the key things we started because Christina, actually most of the things came from her, worked on. And then we use, of course, the minimalist interior style. We wanted something very simple that, of course, many people also could like. We played with materials. We have, for example, raw and natural wood in the main living area, but we have the bathroom, which is not separated by a big door or big wall, but it is separated by using a different materials, which is fiber cement. So you have this contrast of colors and materials which are separating the rooms without putting a big wall. So these are also some small touches that we've done. Of course, all the facilities, the kitchen, everything is built in. So it's made with the same materials. It's tailor-made for us. It's not things that we have bought in some shops and just placed there. So it brings also an overall feeling of, you know, everything being harmonized and being in the same direction. So this was another key thing. And then one other part that I wanted to differentiate a bit is that it was the roof, because most of the tiny houses have a sloped roof, at least one or most of the cases two. And here I wanted to build a flat roof. So Christina also came with a great idea that it's a pure rectangle, but actually the inside roof, because there is an inside roof, is a bit sloped, of course, for the water to go out.
Yeah.
But we built it in a way that you can have your vegetable gardens on the top of the house. So this was another idea, of course, going into the off-grid thing and so on, which was pretty important to us. And okay, these are the main aspects, but she did a lot of other small design area. She has a small bench outside, which is built directly in the house. And the idea was that you can have, you know, a fire pit and just sit down there with friends and so on. So in many aspects, we really wanted to differentiate with the materials, the colors, the way of building it. It was not an easy one to design first and then to build. It's a pretty complex. It's pretty complex structure that with the time, of course, will become easier and easier. But I'm very happy with the result. We got a lot of very positive feedback on social networks. You are part of them. I mean, I know that you like the design. In 2020, we won two architecture awards with this design. So I'm happy that actually just by having something a bit different, we succeeded to attract different type of people who are not initially in the tiny house movement, but said, oh, okay, this I like, this sounds nice, this is design. Maybe I could have it in my garden. Maybe I could have this for the weekends. And even those awards were not at all tiny housing awards. They were like pure architecture and design things. So we are pretty happy that even in those competitions, tiny housing is finding a place, you know, finally, and competing with other types of architecture. So we are very happy with this
Definitely. First employee
model.
Definitely. Well, you should be. You should be so happy. I mean, it's fantastic to sort of be receiving the awards for sort of architecture in general and showing that sort of people are so sort of amazed by space. I mean, for me personally, it's just, I think the sort of openness and the natural light, like you say, having so many sort of windows, the big window by the bed as well, especially, and light sort of traveling all the way through it. It just sort of makes the space feel so open. And like you said, it sort of connects you with the outside. So you wake up and you feel like you're sort of already yeah. in nature. And I think that is another valuable thing in terms of tiny living, that it sort of allows people to reconnect with that. And obviously having the vegetable garden on the roof as well, it sort of gets people outside more so than they would in a conventional house, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I was saying, for me, cabin is, I mean, my initial goal was not to sell houses. My initial goal was to promote minimalism, to promote disconnection, reconnection to the things that matters. And actually, I came out to the point of selling tiny houses because for me, it was the best means and the best way of doing this. Because to say, okay, I want to be minimalist and so on, when you live in a big house, it's pretty difficult. And it's difficult to picture it out. So my idea was, okay, the house should be the way to achieve that. So yes. It's not only your house, it's a way to achieve some way of living. So it had to reflect all of those aspects. And I believe we succeeded with the relaxing area that you will enjoy with families, this connection to the nature, this possibility to be off grid, the vegetable gardens. At the same time, yes, this design, which is again answering maybe more broader target in terms of potential people who wants to get it. So all of these things I believe we achieved. It was definitely not an easy way of doing, because of course you still need to optimize the space inside to keep it functional. There are small adjustments that we are now considering, of course, because once you spend a bit of time in it, you can see some things that can be done differently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the overall achievement is there, and it's really conveying the values of cabin, and this was for me a key, and this will stay in all the next things that we will do. And actually now I'm in a phase where it's a bit difficult to me, because you know I'm very strongly into my decisions about single story and these kind of things, while many people are not looking for these. They want the loft beds because they are used to see things, and of course they want to get the things that they have seen in the past.
Yeah.
And now I have to take somehow the decision, okay, do I fully stick to my own things, which is maybe not the best way of thinking the things, you know, just having your own point of view. And actually I already decided that we should of course try to find a way now to be a bit more flexible and to take some other things from what is really working well in the traditional houses. I mean, yeah. I call them like this. And of course, to answer some of the needs of the people, still keeping the wide openings from light's perspective,
yes,
the definitely. Overall design, interior design, exterior design, and so on. So now we are in this phase with Tristina of defining such kind of models and adaptation of the cabin joy, which could fit broader expectations. But yeah, it's but still conveying the value. So it's all of this together. It's not always easy to achieve.
Yeah, I can imagine it is such a balancing act to be able to sort of tick all of those boxes and make sure that there is everything you're after. Yeah, amazing. Well, I think it all sounds fantastic. You've obviously done such an amazing job with it. So the Cabin Joy being the first model, have you got any sort of future plans? You mentioned briefly, is there anything else that you're sort of thinking of for the future, or what's the next steps?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of models that actually in mind. So one of them, yeah. which we have designed and we have already, all the structural plans, we have the prices and so on, is the so-called cabin life. So
okay.
the house itself is, I mean, it's still tiny. It's not mobile anymore the way we imagine it, because it's 10 meters by 3 meters wide.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a pretty big big space. It's following exactly the shape of the cabin joy, but the difference is that it has two separate bedrooms.
Okay.
So completely separated from the main living area. The main reason for this house is that, again, it's because of the process people are in currently. Many of them are willing to downsize and get into tiny houses, but some of them have families also, and they are not ready yet to go into a 20 or 15 or 20 square meter space, which is completely understandable. So this is kind of alternative, still being tiny. Many of the interested in cabin are not people who are expecting to travel with the house every 2 weeks, but they bought a plot of land and they plan to put the house on it. So they don't have this constraint of the mobility. So this model is now is being promoted. We hope to be able to build it either for a client, and if not, we will try to do it for cabin for people to really picture it better than only with plans. So this is the one of the model. I wanted to work into some, you know, home office. I mean, in the current context, it is something which is kind of trendy. So I'm also thinking about this option. And now, speaking about what I was saying, you know, try to find some flexibility and a bit of not compromises, but a bit of doing something which can adapt to more needs and more wishes. We are working actually on an even smaller version than the Joy.
Amazing.
Which is really way more optimized and combined elements with the possibility of a loft bed. So with a lot of options on it, let's say. And so this is the tricky one now. I don't know yet how it will be called, maybe Cabin Freedom. It's not clear yet. And I believe that this is a model which can also help people to jump into this, because Cabin Joy, Cabin Life, and other tiny houses on the market they are at a significant price. You know, it's not just something you decide like this. It has a cost. It is an investment for all the people. So it's not a decision that you can take like this. And there is for sure this very strong question we spoke about earlier. Okay, do I need this now at this price and so on? Is this really where I need to put my money? And this idea of this new model, Cabin Freedom, is really to have something that maybe will be less sophisticated in terms of design or materials and so on, in order to have a way lower price, to be something that way more people can afford, or at least something that they can consider that, okay, I can, you know, I can afford to make myself this gift of buying a small house for the weekends, because the price is not so significant. So we will try to push quite a lot on the price to optimize it in a way for the people who have this doubt to say, okay, look, this one is offering you everything you need to either go in the weekends, or if you are really ready to live in a 15 square meter space to live inside it. But at least you can kind of try to do it without having a huge investment. So it's like, I don't know, it's like an entry model, you know, something that people can even start with. And then once they are convinced, they can maybe, okay, invest in something bigger or more optimized or more designed and so on, and somehow sell this first house to someone who is at the beginning of the process. You know, it's a bit the way I see it. So this is something that we are working on now, and which should come out pretty quickly now.
Amazing.
And outside of the models, of course, we are also trying to diversify a bit the service, because right now we are selling only turnkey houses, so everything is ready inside so that you can move in. And of course, we have requests of people who wants to build something on their own, to do the design on their own, or for cost reason, or just because they like this part of the project. So we will also try to sell houses which will be like, okay, weatherproofed, you know, you will have all the structure, the insulation, the walls and so on, but the interior design will be up to them. For sure, we will make sure that all the networks for electricity and water are already in place, as I told you, just for security reason, not to have any problems in the future. But then they will have the freedom to do it inside the way they want. And we will also have a version where you will have the core equipment, let's say the kitchen and the bathroom, but the rest, again, will be up to them. So more flexibility also in terms of delivery, again, for cost reason, or just for the wish to do it on your own.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things, for this year. We want to have this platform online where you can configure it on your own, you know, and directly do your project through the platform and get a price and a plan. So this is also a bit tricky. And of course, one of the big plans for the year, it's going back to what we were saying earlier with this hashtag Time for Tiny. I really want to push in this direction, especially in the current context where, okay, people are a bit worried about the future, so they are kind of reluctant to invest and at least make projects right now. So I think it's the right time for us to step back a bit also. I mean, not to push sales right now, but to try to push onto the Time for Tiny thing, to make people understand that what they have been through last year actually is a great illustration that we have to change something. And many of them, you mentioned it, went through this process of realizing that their career was not so important, being at home, not working for many of them, reconnecting to something. So there is a lot of good things to take out of the I mean, not say last year situation because it's still the case right now.
Yeah.
But they are, I believe that this will benefit to this at some point. And again, it is our role as builders right now to take part of this, of making people understand that they can go through this process now. And I think that the focus of sales should be, yeah, somehow later on in the year, once people are feeling a bit more confident and that we help them go through this process. So big part of the focus will be on this also for sure.
Definitely. I think that is really, really so valuable. And it's really, really great that you're saying this and you're prioritizing this, as I've said before. And I think that the plans for 2021 sounds so exciting, sort of having the ability to be able to configure a model and looking at obviously the different turnkey options or the possibility of sort of working with customers directly. So in terms of, if you wouldn't mind me asking about the turnkey, do you make those to order as soon as someone sort of looks to order a cab in Joy, or what's the process there if someone were to go on your website and be interested in making a sale?
So, I mean, right now, actually, yeah, you know, I'm a bit outside of the sales process now because we are defining the strategy for the year. But right now, yeah, everybody interested. So on the website, you have most of the information. Of course, I never do things only through the website. I want to go into discussions. You know, I want to understand about the projects. I will always make sure, you know, that this is fitting their needs, or sometimes it's the cabin life. Sometimes it's something different that we are trying to work on. Actually, we have lots of people that we are going through a lot of steps, you know, to adapt, and either from price perspective, because they love the model, but the price is too high, and we need to find compromises. And I'm not in a situation, and we are not in a situation now where we can just say no as soon as someone is asking for something out of the box. You know, I believe that we also have to adapt, and we need to find ways to do it. So we will go through this process. We have some talks. Our core focus for now is the French market. I'm also trying now to target Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, and so on. So we are trying somehow there also. And it's really a process. What we see now is that we have a lot of people contacting us, actually, because it seems that some of the builders are overloaded actually with orders, which is great for them. And it's good for the movement, I would say, that this is happening. So one key thing is that right now we are still small at Cabin. We are still at the early stage. We are having our first orders now, so it's still very fresh. And the good point is that we still have the capacity to produce pretty fast. I mean, we can deliver the Cabin Joy within 3 months if you order
amazing
right now. So this is important because some of the people, it's very interesting, are, you know, very in a hurry, which is very strange for me. Some of them was like, can you deliver me your house in 10 days, you know? So it's very interesting. Actually, most of those never took it and actually stepped back from this initial idea. But so yeah, at least I'm happy that we have this capacity now deliver faster, and that we have this capacity really to speak about the projects of the people, because I have some people contacting me and telling me, oh, great, you are answering to me. I said, of course. I mean, you are a potential client for me. And of course, I'm answering. I said, because some of the builders are not answering anymore, neither to the phone nor to email, because they are having orders for now and even next year sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, and it's great. I mean, I also I need to get orders. But I don't want to fall in this situation where, I mean, we are overloaded with things. To be even pretty concrete, taking my personal journey, I don't want tomorrow Cabin to become so huge that I have to manage a team of 100 people and 100 orders per week and getting stressed, not having time for me and so on. This is not at all what I want. I'm not looking through this to get millions. I mean, I'm just looking for enough money for me to make a living. And I prefer to do one house per month well done, with the customer being happy, with following the customers, going with him in France, going there for the delivery of the house, installing the house with him, getting his impressions, you know, in the first week, even staying around, you know, to know how things are.
Yeah.
I prefer to do it like this and having a happy customer. And again, if I do this by selling one house per month, I will have the money I need for me to live, and this is all I need. Of course, it's possible that this tiny house movement at some point will be with a lot of other builders and so on, and I will need to adjust my prices, adjust my strategy and so on, but it's not the case right now. And I still want to believe that we can do something which is, again, a lot into the project of the people, a lot into minimalism, into a journey. And then, here is the house which makes this possible for you. But so people should expect with us, going back to the sales process, people should expect to us not to push them things right away.
Yes.
The process takes time with us. Maybe we are responsible for it and not making it too fast. But I think it's really important. And even if I want to give the opportunity to people online to do their own configurations and plans and so on, I mean, at some point I was thinking about having a add to cart button and you just buy your house. But yeah. I don't think it should be like this. Even if you have a lot of money and this is not a big investment for you, you still need to discuss at some point, okay, this is my project, this is your house, how does it fit together? And I think this is key. So this kind of online shopping, which at some point I had the idea, is not the right way to do this type of business, in my opinion, again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I must say, I really, really do appreciate your honesty with all of this and your openness to sort of share your story, to talk more about Cabin. It's been really, really interesting to hear your perspective looking at it. And I think it really is so valuable. And I must say, wish you all the best of luck for 2021. And just a huge thank you for sort of opening up it and talking all about it.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thank you. It's great to be able to share because in many cases, people just see one face of it, which is our website. And of course, the website is more focused on the models and the prices and so on. Of course, we have a blog where we try to share a lot about minimalism and so on.
Yeah.
We have a bit about the history of Cabin. But yeah, I think it's not easy on the website to be able to convey everything you want to and the values and somehow to associate it with someone, me and of course the other partners, we all brought something into this company, which is part of the values and the way we do things today. And it's important for people to see this part. I mean, again, I don't think people that are buying tiny houses are buying just a house. I really believe it's a lifestyle. And they need to do it with the right builders, the builder which is being like them. And I had some discussions, I mean, I have to be honest, with customers who were too far away from who I am, who we are as Cabin. And it dropped at some point. I mean, not because the house was not fitting, but because they were asking for things which were outside of the way we imagine it. And we were having difficulties to understand each other simply on the way of doing things or of imagining tiny house living and so on. And I prefer to drop such kind of things. I mean, of course, it's one opportunity missed, but yeah, I have some strong values. And coming back to the initial point about meaning in what you do as a professional living, it's key. And I don't want to make compromises on that, even if it means just losing some things. I'm now having this flexibility, of course, to try to understand more the what people are willing to have and so on, and it's very broad and very diverse. But the values should remain, and people should get along, builders and buyers, because it's not only shaking hands and buying some things. There is a process of building, delivering, adapting, and of course maintaining afterwards and making sure that the client is happy. So if you do it with someone you are not happy, you most probably it won't. Yeah, there will be some problems at some point in the process, and I don't want this to happen. So.
Definitely. I completely agree. And I think that it really, really is what sort of makes you stand apart from everyone else. And the fact that, like you say, even today on the podcast, sort of it's a face to Cabin, and it sort of allows people to understand the journey and to sort of learn more about sort of your values and how it can sort of fit and work with them.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's key. And yeah, I mean, people are welcome to come to us, to visit us, to ask us any types of questions. I've already made some small videos about where all of this came from and so on. But yeah, I really have no problem meeting and spending time talking first about my project of Cabin, their project and so on. And then in second or third stage to go more in depth into the house itself. But I love to speak. I love to share this. I love to share this journey. I'm happy with what I've been through. I hope many other people will go through in their own way. Of course, there is everybody again is different, but this is key. And I'm so excited every time I receive a request for Cabin or people saying something nice. And first thing I tell them is like, first, congratulations for having the project of going tiny. Because this is great. If you do it with us or if you do it with someone else, I even recommend sometimes some other builders and things like this. I don't mind. I mean, I want people to go into this process because, again, at some point, it will benefit us. The more tiny houses there will be, the less reluctant will be people will be, the less the authorities will be reluctant to allow this kind of stuff. So I really want to go into these things all together. And yeah, let's everybody get something out of this and everybody to be happy out of this. And that would be the great situation.
Definitely. I honestly couldn't agree more. I really do appreciate you so you've talking about it. And like you said, it's just all building up the movement. And hopefully 2021 will be a big year. But I'm sure in the years to come, it'll sort of be just more and more common. And then hopefully we can sort of come back and have a follow-up conversation and sort of see where everything is, hopefully, and all be positive.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I'm fully aware that it is taking time. And this is maybe a message to anybody who is so passionate about tiny house that they also want to start building and so on. It's taking time. I mean, you won't sell a house after 2 months like this just because you like it and so on. It's a process. I mean, I'm from the 30s. So I speak about startup. I think that cabin is a startup and startup takes time. You should not go too fast. You should not try to push on the wrong things. Everything I've done, I mean, last year, in terms of sales was pretty limited. But I believe that everything that we have worked on and built on will be very beneficial for the future of cabin and the movement. So if people go in through this process, into this process, I mean, it's the case for any kind of startup, expect that it will take years for it to be really successful. And do not compare to other builders, for example, who are selling 80 houses a year, because they have been through this process before. They have struggled. Yeah. They started with one house that they lived in because they had nothing else aside. So yeah, everybody has a process to go through these things. And I'm being patient. It's not easy every day, of course. And we have to readapt and change our strategies, especially in the context. But this is what makes it great. And yes, I hope that all potential clients of Cabin will appreciate, of course, all of this work aside and this journey that we've been through, and will somehow relate to it. And this is for me what would be the best situation to sell a house to someone who relate to Cabin and went through some kind of similar process as a client. But this would be the best, and I'm very confident that this is going to happen. This year it's big question mark how we will do. We will work, of course, in the way that it will get better, but if not this year, it's next year. And the same now, I also learn to adapt, you know, and to find a way from financial perspective of doing some things aside and so on, because Cabin is my dream, it's my core project, and I don't want it to fail because of being in a hurry or not being able to wait. So if it means to do some other jobs aside and so on to make it work, okay, this is something we'll do. But I believe in the essence of Cabin and the tiny house movement. And I will never give up on these things. It will become for sure in Europe something, not if not standard, something accepted and broadly accepted and making people happy. And it's just a matter of, it can take years, it's for sure. Especially France is a country where people are a bit afraid of change and things like this. So yeah, it requires patience from everybody. But there is no reason it doesn't work.
Exactly. And I think what you said about putting in the foundations now and everything that you've been doing over the last few years has sort of been the things that take the time, and you're sort of putting in place the processes, you're putting in place the team, you're putting in place the values and sort of creating the trust among the audiences and things like that to sort of really be a really sort of be a trusted body.
Yeah, I mean, you know exactly what I mean. You've been through this process. You started the tiny house movement thing way before I even thought about it on my side, you know? So you've been through this process of being patient and building something. Even if you cannot make a living out of it, it's something that you believe in. So you give yourself into it and you are being patient to make it work. And there is no reason that something is not bringing the expected results if you've been through this process of being patient and giving everything you could and not forcing anything. So yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think that is important to sort of, like you said, and put in place the foundations, and then I'm sure it'll just be good things to come from now for you.
Yeah. And for you too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Well, it has been brilliant speaking to you. And thank you for your insight, for your advice to people as well. People that are sort of looking to go tiny. I'm sure there's tons and tons of things that people can take away from this. But yeah, best of luck in 2021. And thank you very much again.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for the invitation. It was great talking to you. And yeah, best of luck to you too. And again, I hope many people will take the current context now and step back from it and try to make plans into this less is now, as the minimalists are saying now. I think it's a great time to go into this. So yeah, best of luck to all of us in this direction.
Thank you. Amazing. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any questions for future episodes, any ideas, then please do get in touch. Instagram's the easiest way to reach me at Tiny House Ideas. If you'd like to support the podcast, as I've mentioned, it's available on Patreon to support, and we've got a private Discord group there where we can have the discussion. We can really break down the podcast, talk about each episode, talk about upcoming episodes, and also watch all of the new releases early.